are you? We are all wonderful, aren't we? How's that going to work? We'll see. What a beautiful day it is. What an absolutely beautiful day it is. Thank you, Jennifer. So, are you interested in taking a vow of poverty? Say no. Me either. Interested in taking a vow of lack? Say no. Interested in taking a vow of confusion? How about doubt? How about fear? Okay, you're in the right place. Me either. And yet, unconsciously, we find ourselves saying yes to fear. We find ourselves saying yes to doubt. We find ourselves saying yes to lack. We find ourselves saying yes to separation. What's a girl to do? She's to remember. We're to remember. That's all we need to do. We're all going to find ourselves in those places. It's going to happen. It's not that it's never going to happen. It's what are we going to do when we find ourselves there, and what are we going to have in our awareness to remind us of the truth of our being? What is the vow that we've taken for ourselves to be so clear, so connected, that all of the stuff going on around us, as Sherry so beautifully spoke of in her prayer time, in her meditation time, that it does not get to enter into us, that we don't get to be thrown off by it. So I thought a lot about this the last month as I was contemplating the month and leading up to the vow and what a great experience it was going to be, and we would all take this vow. And as I started working on it and thinking about it, I thought, no. A vow is so personal. A vow that I'm talking about is something that only happens within us individually. So while I am going to invite you to consider taking a vow for yourself with the God of your own being in your own way, it'll look different than mine. It'll look different than anyone's, because it's the sacred activity of connecting with Spirit, with the divine activity of life of God within us and as us. So I don't have a particular vow for each of us. However, I have lots to back up the idea of making a vow. So it's a promise. It's an oath. It's a pledge. It's a commitment. And it gives us strength, a vow. That's what it does. That's why we want it. And so in all of the things that we're doing in life, in all of the ways that we're being, we are continuously learning to connect with the power and the presence of God within. Yes? Yes. And we want to remember that what we... as we're navigating life and as we're going about life, that what we want to do is rely upon that thing called God, Spirit, Love, the Almighty, whatever your name for it is that you like. And that does not mean rely on it out here in the outside, but it means rely upon it here on the inside. And what becomes so important is that that is individual. Spirit does not show up directing us from the outside, but it does show up directing us from the inside. We've all, I would suspect, experienced this and experienced recognizing the presence. And so one of the first things that we learn to do is we learn to be still and know. We learn to center ourselves and to allow ourselves to be informed by that presence. by that sweet still voice, by that whisper, that guidance that can only come from us connecting with it. It's always there, and yet it's up to us to connect with it. So as we're being still and we're allowing ourselves to recognize it and know it, then we are in greater and greater ways informed by it. And it, you know what I mean by it, right? I mean the Almighty. I mean the thing itself. I mean divine wisdom, creative intelligence. And so as we be still and align with it, we are entering into the sacred relationship of God and I are one. You and I are one. We are one. We sing that intentionally, mindfully, remembering that that is, in a way, our vow, our sacred vow. We are one. And when we remember this and we can live in this, then I've noticed for myself, and I've shared about it, that the fear and the concern and the worry and the doubt and the confusion and all of those things that show up inevitably in life, they kind of fade away. As I remember, oh yes, I have made a vow to let go and let God, to be still and know that I am one with that thing itself. To live in that alignment in such a way that these other things that are going on out here are not controlling me. In our awareness of oneness, we represent the perfect pattern of the universe. So if that's a new idea for you, what I mean by that is that there is a perfect pattern of the universe that is unfolding. Can you guys wrap your heads around that? And individually, we experience it and we express it. And so that perfect pattern of God in us and through us, we see it in our bodies, in the way that it functions. We see it in our ability to think clear thoughts and continuous thoughts, and there's a perfect pattern. We see it in our interactions with nature. We see nature and the perfect pattern that exists there. So what I invite us to do is start looking at the perfect pattern of life and noticing it, noticing where it's showing up, noticing how perfect it is. And then align ourselves with it. Remember that that's what that is our intention, to recognize and know our oneness with the divine and with that perfect pattern. And so where is the perfect pattern showing up in my life? Am I speaking my words intentionally, mindfully, leading to where I want to go? Am I being negative? Am I being positive? Am I laying out before me steps of truth and wholeness, or am I laying out before me confusion and doubt? So as we create the perfect pattern within our own lives, we give generously, we receive graciously. That's a perfect pattern. We allow others to contribute to us as we contribute to them. That's a perfect pattern. We give of our time, our talent, and our treasure, financially, energetically, in all of the ways that Spirit is expressing in us. The perfect pattern is for us to express it out here. Does that make sense? As we experience the divinity of God, as we be still and know that presence, and we are informed by it, the perfect pattern is us then expressing it in our lives. The perfect demonstration becomes this natural expression of letting go and letting God inform us and fulfill our movement. from the book of Malachi. Don't very often quote the Bible, but here we go. It states, "Put me to the test and see if I do not open the floodgates of heaven for you and pour out an abundant blessing for you." Well, that was one version. There are many versions. And while I do not necessarily respond well to the idea that Spirit is asking us to test it, I do believe that we are supposed to prove the principles to ourselves. We are supposed to prove to ourselves over and over and over again this divine idea that we are one. That this divine idea that God is right here in me and through me and as me. And as I come to find more and more ways to demonstrate that, to experience it, to express it, then I prove it to myself. Anybody could stand up here and tell you guys what you should think, but what matters is how it shows up in our own lives individually. All the books that we read, we have to take that in. We must actually apply it to our lives. It does no good for it to live up here. We must take that long journey from here to here and then be expressed out here. So how do we do this? How do we do this? How do we be still and know that God is all there is? How do we be still and trust and have faith in the face of all of the things that are going on? Many of you know that our son is had a severe accident, and he's, I'm happy to report, home and doing very well. And in the face of all of this, we are challenged over and over and over and over again to remember to give thanks for the good, to not go down the rabbit hole of fear, of the what ifs. He's got a long road ahead of him. Well, how are we going to navigate that? You know how we do it? We do it 1 minute at a time. We do it one sacred and holy moment at a time. That is how we create a perfect pattern of life unfolding in us and through us and as us. One moment at a time, one day at a time, one thought at a time, one conversation at a time. And constantly remembering and returning to the truth that God and I are one. That by my own hands, and boy do I know it, this is not going to happen by means of me, of my own self. Here I do get to stop and remember, it is the Father within who doeth the work. It is that divine wisdom that is inherent in all of life that is expressing in and through and as Alex. It is that divine wisdom that is God that is expressing in and through it as me, in and through and as each one of us. In and through and as each of us, and it is expressing itself absolutely perfectly. And as I continue to remind myself, and I remind all of us, we are learning to express that which is expressing us. So we be still, and we know it. We come to meet it in the activity of our life. We pause in the morning, we wake up in the morning, and we greet our day. And how do we greet our day? In gratitude. Good morning, day, I hear people say, good morning. How do you want to greet this day? Have you thought about it? Have you thought about how you greet each moment? Yeah, you have. I know you have. So being present in the moment means not allowing worry to come in. Any worriers in the room? Have you met the worry pit? Have you circled it? Have you ever fallen in the worry pit? It's not a happy place. It is not a happy place. Worry robs us. Worry robs us of our truth. It robs us of our hope. It robs us of our remembering. But do not forget what was said in Malachi. I already forgot, so I'm going to have to go back and look. You did too. Thank you. I don't feel so bad. All right. Where did it go? There it is. Put me to the test and see if I do not open the floodgates of heaven for you and pour out an abundant blessing for you. So when we're worrying, we've already forgotten. Oh, darn. When we're worrying, we have already forgotten who we are. So worry is that pit. And if we think about it like a pit, then what we can do is we can remember that, oh, yes, worry. Oh, what's the opposite of worry? Yes, faith, hope, trust. And all we need to do is lift up our thinking, and we are lifted up out of that pit of misery, that pit of no hope, that pit of paralysis. And when we have taken a vow to ourselves, with ourselves, to God, to the God of our own being, to remember that I am one with you, you are one with me, then that lifeline is not so elusive. It's right there. When we have taken the time to start our morning and remember, oh yes, I'm entering into this day in gratitude. Oh yes, I have centered myself in the truth of remembering who and whose I am. Then when the worry comes knocking at my door, I'm gonna say, I've seen you. Remember we broke up? No one can think our thoughts but us. That's the good news and the bad news. No one can think our thoughts but us. No one gets to circle the worry pit for us, and no one gets to lift us out. And yet, have you not noticed that coming together and joining with like-minded people and having conversations and reading books and being in classes and listening to great music, I mean, I say this all the time, it helps us to remember so that we then can lift ourselves up, so that then we can do what is ours to do. So I like to think of it like we're in a healthy, reciprocal relationship with God. Have you had some kind of not so great relationships with people over the years? That's not the one I'm talking about. Think about the one that you really like, the one where you're really close and you can talk to each other about anything, and that person will remember who you are when you forget, and they'll hold you up and they'll put their arms around you and you can cry together and you can do all of those things and you do that for them. This is the kind of healthy, wonderful, reciprocal relationship I'm talking about that we have with Spirit. We have that relationship. The one that you most want, the one that you dream about, that you're just like, that one, that's our relationship with Spirit. That's it. And how do I know this? Because I do. Because I've proved it to myself. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can prove it to yourself. I actually highly encourage it. It is the most divine thing when we come to realize that we have that. And just like a really good friendship, it deepens and we get to know each other in greater ways. And we get to know what it feels like. You know, when your best friend is sitting right beside you, you don't need to say anything and they're just there. Or that special person and they're just there. When we are in the presence of the divine, that's what it's like. It's just there. Nothing needs to be said. We feel it. We sense it. And pretty soon, the company that we keep starts rubbing off on us. And all that we know to be true of God, we start recognizing within ourselves. All of the infinite creative intelligence that we know to be true of God starts showing up in our lives by right of association. All of the love that we know that God is, We start seeing it in our life. Because we're connecting with it. We're recognizing it. We're knowing it. There's a story that I ran across, and I'll share it with you because I think it demonstrates it really well. And it's really old. It's old. You'll be able to tell from the activities of it. So do y'all know who Elmer Gray is? Apparently, he was a very prominent architect. And the story that I found was written this way. Mr. Gray had an inner desire to create buildings of beauty. He had some success in Milwaukee in his 20s. And then he experienced some disharmony in his life. And upon the advice of a specialist, he traveled to New Mexico. What he thought was going to be a place to help him turned out to be a dude ranch, which did not appeal to him. And as he was there, he found he was unable to cash his check because he didn't have a letter of credit. This was a long time ago when you needed stuff like that and you couldn't take a picture of your check and cash it that way. Life changes. So he had no money to travel to another place. So he sat on a park bench and he unburdened himself. He told his woes to a person who was sitting there. And this man was a respected person in the community, and so he co-signed the check for Elmer. And Elmer was able to go and get on the train to go somewhere else. And at the train station, he met a newspaper woman who was on her way to California. She suggested, and he agreed, that he join her. And so he came to California, where he met the owner of the Hollywood Hotel, which resulted in his first commission to plan and build the Beverly Hills Hotel. He eventually realized much greater success. He designed the Huntington Art Gallery, the Chemistry Building at the California Institute of Technology, and the Beverly Hills Hotel, and many other buildings. If he had stopped anywhere along the way and not allowed himself to be in that perfect pattern, in that flow, well, he would have ended up wherever he ended up. But his story is a beautiful demonstration of letting people contribute to him, of being willing to share his burden, of being willing to surrender and say, I need help, and being willing to give his gifts that were his to give. Being willing to give his gifts that were his to give. It is so essential to the perfect pattern of life for us to give that which is ours to give, to not hold it back, to be generous. To be generous financially, to be generous emotionally, to be generous creatively, to be generous with our love, to be generous with our good, however it looks. Have you guys ever heard that what you appreciate appreciates? What we give, we receive. I used to teach children a lot, for many, 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 many years, used to teach children about these principles. And when we would be in youth church and we'd be in our circle and it'd be time for the offering, I would remind them, everybody has something to give, and what you give is what you receive. And so you know what they put in the basket a lot of times, because they actually pass a little basket. You know what they put in there? Legos. PlayStation. Things. But as we grow older, and we have a greater understanding, then we realize that what we're putting into that basket is symbolic. It's symbolic of our faith in the infinite, infinite supply of this universe. It's symbolic of our receptivity and our reciprocity of the goodness of life that is just ready to pour itself through us. The floodgates have been opened? How are your floodgates? How many dams have been set up within you? I'm just saying, out of the need to protect, because, you know, someday, out of the need to survive, out of the need to not trust. I'm not saying don't be practical. I'm not saying that. But I am saying the floodgates on spirit's side are wide open. And then it can only give to us what it can give through us. So check. Notice. Have you built some dams? Do you want to set them free? You want to open them up? Start giving. Start giving. That is the way to open them. Give. Give generously. Give graciously. Give joyously. Give of who you are. Don't look at me like you have nothing to give. You have so